The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from everyone whose heart prompted them to give. Those are the offering you are to receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and sacred yarn, and fine lens, goat hairs, ram skins, dale red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, oil, olive oil for the light space, for the mount oil, and for the fragrant lens, and onyx stone and other gemmy to be mounted on the front and priest pieces. Then have them make sanctuary for me and will dwell among them. Make this trampolines and all its furnished exactly like the print I will show you. Have them make an ark of ash wood, 2.5 cubit long, and a cubit and a half wide, and cubit and a half high. Overlay it with purely gold, both inside and out, and make gold modeling around it. Cause 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to it is 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the others. Then make poles of ash wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the pole into the ring and the other in the side of the ark to carry it. The pole are remained in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put the ark, the table of the covenant law, which I will give you. Make an adamant cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubit long and cubit and half wide. And make 2 cherubim out, hermed gold at the end of the cover. Make 1 cherubim on the end and the second cover cherubim on the other. Make cherubim on 1 pieces with cover at the 2 end. The cherubim are to have their wing spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking forward the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put in the ark and table of the covering law that I will give you. There above the cover between the 2 chambers that are cover the ark of the covering law, I will meet with you, give you all my command of the Israel. Make a table arch wood, the 2 cavern long, a cubit wide, and cubit and half high. Overlay it was pure gold and make a gold modern around. Also make around it ram and handed breadth wide and put gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold ring for the table and fasten them to the 4th corner. Where the 4th leg are, the ring are to be close to the rim to hold the pole. Use a carrying that table. Make the pole of acacia wood, overlay them with gold and carrying the table with them. And make it is the plates that dishes of pure gold as well as its pitcher and bowls for pouring out of offering. Put the bread of presence of this table to be before me at all time. Make a lampstand of pure gold, hammer out bases and shift and make it into fall like cup, but buds and blossom of one pieces with them. Six branches are to be extended from the side of the lampstand, three on one side and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almost follow flower with buds and blossom are to be one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extended from the lampstand. And one of the lampstand there are to be four cups shaped like almond flowers with the bud and blossoms. One bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand. A second bud under the second pair, and third bud under the third pair. Six branches in all. The buds are branches shall all be of one pieces of on one pieces with lampstand hammered out of pure gold. Then make it is seven lamps and set them up on it is so they are light. This is from it all. It is week determinate and tried are to be of pure gold, a talent. A pure gold is to be used, the lampstand and this are assurances. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mount.
Thank you, Daniel. Beware if we ask you to read. We might have you do the whole chapter. Good morning, Grace Church. My name is Chad Herzog. I'm an elder here at Grace. It is great to be with you on this beautiful morning. A week before the Super Bowl, we thought it fitting to call an audible. The plan was to continue in Acts, but at times, life happens, right? Now, in football, who was the master at calling audibles? Peyton Manning, yeah. He was brilliant at being at the line of scrimmage, reading the defense, and then adjusting the play. He would see, we need to make a change here. Our play that we had set is not in line with the defense. And he'd be at the line of scrimmage, Omaha, Omaha. And I don't know what that meant, but a lot of times it worked for the Indianapolis Colts, the Denver Broncos. And so this morning we have a little change, and we're going to be covering Exodus chapter 25. And then next week we will be back in Acts. Now I can read some of your minds, your faces. You see we have a guest speaker up here, and he chose Exodus 25. It's going to be a long morning. Daniel just got done reading what seemed to be like, for some of you, IKEA instructions. But I would like to dig into what is God telling us in this text. I want you to think of life events. What are life events that have shaped who you are? Okay, for me, it's, you know, some of them are meeting my wife, getting married, having our first kid, our second kid, our third kid, our fourth. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Kelly's at home watching this. Kate is sick, so she would have known that was just a joke. But another event that shaped me was reading through the Bible in its entirety for the first time. Suddenly, God's story made sense to me. And for those of you who are currently reading through our Bible plan, hopefully God is speaking to you. And we're using, it's called the Navigator's Plan. And soon, in a number of days, you are going to be in Exodus 25. You are going to be in the thick of the IKEA instructions. You are going to be reading chapter after chapter of instructions of building in great detail. You're going to be learning about fine linens. You're going to be reading about the priestly garments. You're going to be reading about undergarments. It's great. And as you head into this section, I want to encourage you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. Do you believe that? There is great power in God's word. And his word may thump you at any time, right? Some of you know that. I hope you know that. It may be through a sermon. It may be through your individual reading, your quiet time. You may be at work, faced with a decision of which path to take. And because you have his word, you have the Holy Spirit in you, he gives you the word that you need. Maybe that changes the path that you take. Maybe it encourages you, yes, I will stick with your path. This happened to me as I was studying this chapter. We have our Bible study group on Monday nights. It's just a group of a few guys. And we've gone through Genesis. We're going through Exodus. And we came upon a part that the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And we'll be coming to that part here in a few verses. That life event that changed me when I read through the Bible, what I found amazing was the unity of God's story from Genesis through the Old Testament, through Christ, and then to Revelation. And we see that here today. As you may recall, at the start of Exodus, the Israelites are slaves in Egypt. Moses encounters God at the burning bush, and Moses is called to lead the Israelites out. God sends the plagues. There's the Passover. The Israelites cross the Red Sea. Pharaoh and the Egyptians come storming after them. God envelops them in the sea. And then God meets with Moses at Mount Sinai. Moses will become and has been called to be the mediator. He's going to be the in-between for God, Yahweh, and God's chosen people, the Israelites. God's plan is in place. And at the center of all these instructions, God wants to be with us. Remember the Garden of Eden? God is dwelling in his perfect heaven there with Adam and Eve. And then sin hits. The fall. And this changes everything. But God desires to erase this division that sin has created. And he wants to return to a perfect garden. Read with me verse 1 from today. So if you can open up to Exodus chapter 25 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Moses," that's verse 1, "Moses will not speak for the next 7 chapters. Moses will listen to God." And that could be a sermon in itself. Moses just listens to God for the next 7 chapters. But if you were to look at chapter 30 in Exodus, verse 11, and then verse 17, and verse 22, verse 34, and then 31:1, you will see that each of those verses begin the exact same way. The Lord said to Moses. The Lord said to Moses. Creation begins in Genesis when for 7 days, each day, it's stated, "And God said," "And God said," "And God said," like, "And God said, let there be light." And here in Exodus, in his instructions to Moses, it's stated 7 times, "The Lord said." And if you look at the 7th instruction to Moses, it's in chapter 31, verse 12 and 13. "Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." These 7 times match the 7 days of creation. And just like in creation, here in Exodus, the 7th ends with the Sabbath. In reading about the tabernacle today, we are reading about the mobile unit of God's presence. God met with Moses on Mount Sinai. They're going to be wandering around, and they can't take Mount Sinai with them. Keisha, if you could bring up the picture. This is the tabernacle. This is what Daniel read. And everything you need to know about the tabernacle is in verse 8. Exodus 25:8, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." I will dwell among them. That is the purpose of this. And so you can see the outer court, and you have the curtains there. As you enter, the entrance would be here, and the entrance was on the east side, which also matches the Garden of Eden. And you would come in, and you have the altar. And they probably had tables for the slaughtering, but that fire is where the sacrifice would be made. Once a sacrifice would be made, you enter into that tent there, and that's the holy place. And if you can go to the next picture there, then there would be a curtain. Once you enter the curtain, would be the most holy place. And in there, as we read, you have the table, the lampstand, and the ark. This would be the first temple dedicated to God. Now, the curtains are made of goat hair, it says. And as you enter that altar, you get into finer materials. So the altar was made of bronze, it says. Then you have the holy place with the golden table for the bread of presence, the golden lampstand, and altar of incense. So as we move closer to that dwelling place of God in the most holy place, it says that these items are overlaid with pure gold. Make a lampstand of pure gold. The acacia wood, overlay it with pure gold. By the time you're in the most holy place, there's no room for even silver. There's no impurities. There's only pure gold, 24 karat gold. You have a curtain separating the holy place from the most holy place. And the only item contained here in the ark would have been the Ten Commandments. Later there will be a couple other items. But in verse 10 through 22, the ark is described, and it's made of acacia wood. Acacia wood is an exotic wood, very nice hardwood. Only the high priest allowed in the most holy place. In verses 18 through 22, it says the cherubim face each other with wings spread upward. You can see the winged cherubim there. In verse 22, it says, there above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you. The previous time that cherubim are mentioned is where? In the Garden of Eden, around the tree of life. Then verse 23 through 30, we have the table, again made of the exotic acacia wood. The table was to hold the bread of presence, which symbolized the presence of God. And in the Lord's presence, and here there's an abundance of provision, just like in the garden. Then 31 through 40, we have the lampstand. And when we read about the lampstand, we hear terms like flowers, buds, blossoms, branches, a tree, just like the tree of life in the garden. And then in verse 40, he says to Moses, see that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So you have the rest of the Old Testament. Christ comes. And then you have the author of Hebrews, who comes back to this. Now if we go to that next slide, Keisha. Read with me Hebrews 8, 1 through 5. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand on the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Do you see God's plan? From Genesis to the desert to heaven. That picture, that unimpressive picture of curtains made of goat hair. Why were the instructions so specific? Because God has a plan. That plan in the desert was a template of heaven, of what we are to experience. That can't compare. That dwelling place was not sufficient. The altar within the tabernacle was used for the sacrifices, and that was used for sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Holiness comes through sacrifice. Something has to die. Bloodshed is required. John says this in chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In Hebrew, let me just readjust here. In Hebrew, this would have been read as the Word became flesh and made his tabernacle among us. That's how the Jews would have read this and understood it. And it would have taken them right back to that picture of the tent of meeting. Holiness comes through sacrifice. Something has to die. In reading the construction of the tabernacle, it's clear that God pays attention to details. Not only that, but God loves beauty. You know, in my studying for my work, studied the human body. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's detailed. When you see the sunrise, it's stunning. In Exodus, the next chapter, in 26, it covers some other details. 26:31, make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Hang it with pure gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood, overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasp and place the Ark of the Testimony behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Beautiful curtains, royal colors, that of a king. Blood was required. And when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn in two from the top to the bottom. When Jesus came, he effectively replaced the need for a tabernacle or temple. It's why Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days," stating how he would die and how he would rise again for us. The access to God was now open to all through Jesus. Sacrifices of animals no longer needed. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you." Those curtains of goat hair, even pure gold, couldn't suffice. Now our body is the temple. The church body is the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. If we go to the next slide, Keisha, Hebrews again. Chapter 10, 19 through 22. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, now us, to enter the most holy place, by the blood, not of sheep or goats, but by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Let us draw near to God. Do you see his story? God wanted to dwell with his people in the garden. God wanted to dwell with his people in the desert. God wanted to dwell with his people on the cross because he wants to dwell with us for eternity. God gave all. God gave his son to come to dwell with us. So the question is, how are our hearts? How is your dwelling place? What is keeping you from dwelling in his perfect love this morning? The distractions of this world are many, and the world seeks to disrupt this perfect peace. But we are called to be silent, to remember the sacrifice that Christ performed for us.